Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Gonna take it.
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent.
All right, it's time for Bob Ryan, Gary Tanguay. Brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner on the CLNS Media Networks. Get buckets with your first bet on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 if your bet wins. FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Networks. Okay, Bob, we're at the All-Star break. And the Celtics, uncharacteristically so, lowered the boom on a team that isn't even in the same stratosphere as them. They blew out the Nets by 50. Jaylen Brown didn't play, made a statement going into the break. So they're 43-12 at the break. Is that where you thought they would be? Have they exceeded your expectations? Your thoughts?
I'd say they'd exceeded it by, you know, 5 to 10%. I mean, we knew they were good. I placed Milwaukee starting the season definitely ahead of them, and I'm always respectful of Philly because of Embiid. And anyway, but I didn't anticipate this status at the moment. I am very impressed, and I certainly, you know, anytime you win by 50, it's only the fifth time in franchise history. That's kind of aberrational, but especially doing it without two of your rotation guys. So anyway, which actually leads us to talk about. One of the concerns about this team, I thought, was, you know, how good was the bench? You know, how good was the bench going to be? And, I'm a big fan of Pritchard. And by the way, I decided who he is. All right? He's a cross between Jerry Seasting, as you suggested, and Larry Siegfried.
Okay.
Now, that he's a cross. He's as tough-minded as Siegfried. He's a better shooter than Larry ever was, naturally. He's different than Seasting in that he's a 3-point bombardier. Seasting's range was like 15 feet, 2 inches. You know, I think much beyond that. You're worried a little bit, you know, but he was deadly at that range as anybody could be, you know? So anyway, but by the way, just so people, Jerry Seasting, one of my favorite stats of all time in Celtic history. He shot 65% from the floor in the last 17 games of the 85-86 regular season. And you and I know that 90% of those 65% were 15-footers, 17-footers.
Right. Sure. I mean, they were layups.
My friend Lee Montville once said that Seasting did an autobiography. It should be entitled, "I've Never Been to the Paint."
It's a great.
All right, now we digress. So Pritchard comes up with 28 in this route, but he's been more reliable. You know, he's had an up and down career here. Started off okay, kind of got put on the back burner, and now he's definitely an important component on this team. I feel really good about him. We wondered how good Sam Hauser was. Sam Hauser's going to have a long NBA career. You know, he's definitely going to have a career. He can shoot the ball. I mean, and the shooting is at a premium now. And the fact that you added Porzingis made Al more of a swing guy for sure, you know. And so they've got a very nice eight-man rotation for sure, and with versatile guys.
And what I'm surprised at, and this was, of course, a reason they made the move in Milwaukee, is the Celtics have a six-game spread on Cleveland.
Yeah.
I thought the Eastern Conference at the All-Star break would be just a logjam, like a half game, a game separates like four teams, right?
Yes.
Not the case.
None of us saw Cleveland in that category, I don't think. I had a conversation this week with Hubie Brown, and he was selling me Cleveland, that he takes them for real. He loves the backcourt. Mitchell's having a big year, and Garland has been out at times, but he's back. Right. And what people don't talk about is the two big guys do the big guy jobs, and that's Allen and Mobley. They're not all stars or anything like it, but they know what they're doing, and they're tough guys. They give them a good, sufficient inside presence. And I have to say, JB Bickerstaff has settled in as a quality NBA coach. And so Cleveland, he said they'll be, he didn't use this phrase, I'm using it, the proverbial tough out in the playoffs at the very least. Right now they're second, they're ahead of Milwaukee.
And, well, right. I mean, that's
could be an Eastern Conference final, for God's sake. He said, no.
Go ahead.
No, as I like to say, nobody's going to be going, oh, goody, we're going to play the Cavaliers. Let's put it that way, if you draw them in the playoffs.
Well, now you have two. It's the Knicks and the Cavs.
Yeah, the Knicks, they got to get healthy again, because the Knicks, right now they're down big men,
right.
But we saw what they could be in that, until the point when Hartenstein got hurt, and they were getting along without, but he was playing very well. Right now they're just strapped, and they got beat badly last night, and they just got to regroup and get in the tournament and hope they're as healthy as they were 3 weeks or a month ago. It would be interesting to see how good they are. I think they made some very, the Anunoby trade was a tremendous pickup, and the guys they just added, Burks and Bogdanovich, they're offensive guys. So I mean, they could be formidable in the playoffs.
Your colleague Gary Washburn talked with Joe Mazzulla, talked about not letting this team get complacent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What is the best? And you've seen a lot of coaches. You've talked to a lot of coaches. So far, Mazzulla's done a great job. Can't argue with it.
Well, the number one thing of all, that they want to play for this guy. They want to play for Joe Mazzulla. He earned their respect and admiration, but friendship, if you will. Thank you. As an assistant, he had growing pains, they want to play for this guy, and that's important, of course. He's still on trial, with everybody, with the fans for sure, and media, because he's been handed the keys to a very good, very nice, high quality sports car here. And see if what he does with it, and that's going to be those answers will come in April and May and in June, and we'll find out what. But I'm okay. I know a lot of people are still skeptical, and I get emails from people after any loss.
One of the 12.
Yeah. I get or blown lead. But I'm comfortable. I mean, I was just curious. I wasn't skeptical because I trust in Brad. I trust Brad Stevens chose this guy, and now maybe Hardy would have been the first pick from what we gather, Will Hardy, but he got scooped up by Utah by Danny, more or less, and beat. But I think Brad perfectly comfortable, and confident that he has a good coach.
Well, I think that what Mazzulla has benefited from is two very different seasons. But let's face it, as a rookie year, as a head coach, he got thrown under the fire. Oh. Sometimes baptism by fire is very good. He wasn't expecting to be a head coach. No. He gets tossed into the role. He has players like Marcus Smart who call him out. So in the year and a half he's coached, he's sort of lived a life.
Oh, God, yeah. You think about it, you just go, the date was September, I think it was September 21st, 2002, when the news, when yeah, when the news broke on Emmy.
Yeah.
And you know, so go back to whatever that date was. Fact is, when he woke up that morning, he was comfortable in his assigned role as assistant coach, and everything was fine, and he had no worries, you know. And the next morning, the world is on his shoulder, the basketball world, of the fate of the team. I mean, that's got, we'll never know what, how jarring that was for him, not to mention whatever his personal feelings were about, you know, Emi. And, right. And so, yeah, it was a not the kind of circumstance in which anyone wants to become elevated to be the head coach. You know,
tough, you
don't like,
you know,
the reason, you don't like the your friend getting, you know, in trouble, if you will.
Oh, sure.
And you weren't ready for this. This wasn't what you were ready for at all. And so, yeah, I'm sure it was a very stressful year for him.
He's learned a lot. And I think you can see the maturation process, and you can see that he's a sponge and he's putting to work what he's learned. So good for him. Now we want to talk about Bob Ryan's Sacramento Kings. With a win, they scored 11 straight points and they beat the Nuggets. So generally, I wouldn't think, you know, an NBA regular season is a big game, but these are Bob Ryan's Sacramento Kings.
Well, I fell in love. No, I they caught my attention last year, the second half of the year, and in the playoffs. And I'm a hopeless suck up for Donatas Sabonis. Domantas. I love this guy because I love the father too. The great, but
right.
This kid, it's just, I know, you know, All-Stars, there's always going to be controversy, but some just scratch your head. How can they not have this guy on the Western Conference team? He's a walking triple-double now every other night. And anyway, and De'Aaron Fox, who had 30 last night, is one of the better young guards in the league, and a speedball guy. And I like, they got, it's Carter can shoot. They're nice. They're a nice team. I don't know, I think they're a championship team, but
no. But again, why do you like them, Bob? But there's something about them, because you're a basketball purist.
Well,
what do you? There's something part about of it, this little engine that could that you like.
Part of it is, well, I guess I love the Sabonis. I said part of it is that. The fans deserve it. You know, they were teased by that team 20 years ago, and that team that got screwed in that famous fourth quarter against the right. Lakers. And that team did not fulfill its destiny, which was good enough to win the entire thing. Frankly, they were good enough. Even though they had one of my least favorite players ever, Chris Webber, but nonetheless, they were effective. And the fans deserve, they've been loyal. From the time they moved in from Cincinnati, from Oklahoma, Kansas City, out there, they've been loyal. I just think it's time for them. But once again, those two guys are good. Something about them. I'm happy. So they're going to be heard from.
It's Sacramento. Sacramento needs something. Sacramento needs some love. You know, I mean.
Yeah, no kidding, they got a rivalry, inherent rivalry with San Francisco, naturally, you know, and that just because of the culture, and that's good. So no, they're good.
Get your buckets with your first bet at FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because right now new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 if your bet wins. Bet on all your favorite NBA players and teams. Quick bets, live same-game parlays, exclusive props, and more. Just visit FanDuel.com/Boston and shoot your shot. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. Massachusetts 21 plus and present in MA. Hope is here. First online real moneyline wager. Only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com, gambling helpline ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. Okay, Bob, who do you like least, Shaquille O'Neal or Chris Webber?
Oh, I don't dislike Shaq. I dislike Chris Webber's game. I dislike his attitude. He never figured out who he was. He shares an honor with our friend Antoine Walker, in that his whole does not equal the sum of its parts.
Right.
He had skills. He had great hands, and great. But he just didn't have a game. He never figured out what his game was. People said, "What are you talking about?" Well, he was not a noted clutch player at all. Oh, I have not. My only beef with Shaq is rebounding. That he should have been a perennial leader, you know, in the top one, two, three, and he wasn't. And simple reason was he didn't have a rebound gene in him. Great rebounders want the ball. They want to fight you tooth and nail. They want to fight them half the stand. They want the ball. He got the rebounds he should have gotten. And great rebounders get rebounds that don't belong to them. And he's not. He was never one of those guys. So I think he squandered that. But offensively, I admire the fact that he broadened his game. He came in with basically an extremely low post game, and he got it expanded. And he worked on his footwork and moves. He was a better player. I don't dislike him. I just think people overrate him historically. That's all. You know. I mean, in the great debate on centers, you know, I put him in the bottom of the top 10, not in the top. You know.
I'm trying to remember who you're. Obviously, it's Kareem and Wilt. Do you have Nate Thurmond? Number
four to me is Olajuwon.
Olajuwon.
He's number four, and then this guy said that I would rather have. I got to win tonight. You know, Willis Reed is a center. I'd take him over Shaq.
Yeah, that's a pretty good top five. It's pretty good. Yeah. Russ, Willis,
we got guys playing today that are going to muscle themselves into that. Obviously, artistic argument is that the new big guys are more hybrids,
right?
Generic bigs. They're four and a halves, you know, and that's a tribute to them. You know, we're talking about Giannis, who's not a center. He's 7 feet, 6'11". We're talking about Jokic, who is nominally a center but has guard skills, and we're talking about Embiid, who has guard skills too, and can shoot from three, and they're going to be entering into this all time discussion when they're done. We're going to play, you know, we'll have that argument then. Anyway, Shaq, I just think he's got rings to show for it, but I just think he could have gotten even more. I should have been better. Should have been better.
I'm chuckling to myself inside thinking about Will Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar shooting threes.
Wilt, they used to say in practice, could make long shots. That's what that was the folklore. You know, none of us were bear witness to it. You know, I wasn't, but they said Russell, of course, not. No chance. And Kareem, I would, if you told him, you know, this is the game now.
Oh, he'd go. Oh, sure.
He would. There's no doubt in my mind that he would have made himself into a reliable 3-point shooter. As it is, you know, he had the greatest range on a hook that we'll ever know. You know,
you made a three with a hook.
Yeah, it was a hell of a shot. It was like more like 17, 18, but still, it was in the corner. Well, you know, one a great shot, most memorable shot, and one of them in history of the game
against the Celtics, right?
The Celtics game six and 1974.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, there's that. But no, it's you're right. The idea of Russ shooting a three is that you can't make that. You can't picture that. I can picture Kareem shooting a three.
It's a little fuzzy.
Not Russ.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
NBA.com came out with the top five Indiana players of all time because the All-Star game is being held there. And it has the big O, Oscar Robertson, Larry, of course, George McGinnis, and the big dog, Glenn Robinson and Sean Kemp. Your thoughts on the five and who are left out?
Well, John, the thing about it is, I guess they're based, see, this is for NBA purpose, you know, it's a career, NBA career.
Right.
Because when you, if you're in Indiana, the number one sport is high school basketball.
Right.
In fact, their home arena was the only one I ever saw, ever in. I don't even know what it's called now. It started out it was the field house, remember? And I don't even know what the arena's called now. I lost track.
Yeah,
and
it's another name. I saw it.
Well,
today.
Whatever it is, they had as much high school and college posters and pictures and history in the building as they did in the NBA. And then, of course, the ABA still is revered there because they won 3 championships, the Indiana Pacers. So I'm saying I think of Indiana, and there's some got names that I know from college exploits and high school exploits. Now, if you're going to talk about all-time five high school, you know, Indiana players, Damon Bain has got to be in there, winning a championship as a freshman. Jimmy Whale from Kokomo, Indiana, a great shooter in the fifth. Scott Skiles from Plymouth, Indiana, and another legend, a revered figure in Indiana lore is Slick Leonard, Bob Leonard, who won a state championship in Fort Wayne, I believe it was, in 1949, won an NCAA championship in 1953 with the Hoosiers, and then, you know, we coached the team. He's a beloved figure in Indiana. But the five guys they got, obviously, Oscar, if you're going to make a case for greatest career in Indiana schoolboy history, it probably was Oscar Robertson at Crispus Attucks. And of course, I'm glad, you know, Larry's team didn't get very far, you know, they too far. But you think about Indiana basketball, anybody outside the state thinks of Larry Bird.
Right.
And George McGinnis, another study of should have been better is with the skills. But at one point, you know, in the ABA, he was a monster. The thing that happened with George McGinnis in the NBA, he developed a free throw phobia and got to the point where he didn't want to go to the basket because he didn't want to get fouled.
He didn't
want to be humiliated. And that's how he ended his career in deterioration because of that. It's a mental problem.
And he moved to Philadelphia after the Pacers.
Yeah. But the first year, I'll tell you what, though, when he came to the 76ers in the first year that they matched, he and Doc matched up. Well, before Doc got there, he had a great year. And then Doc came in, his role, you know, was tortured. And I don't think he liked it. He liked being the big dog, you know. And of course, inadvertently, came up with the nickname with Glenn Robinson's name.
Was there you go.
That was not planned, folks. That just fell on my head. So it's interesting. I like the idea of it, though. I love stuff like that. I love the idea that the NBA would do that, or the NBA.com would do that. And people are going to embrace this All-Star game. I was reading this morning that they're really taking it to heart in Indiana, and that's good. Fine. And I just hope they give them a real basketball game.
Well,
you know, I'm planning on watching until I get angry. If I want to see a basketball game because I want to see I've seen some that All-Star games.
Oh, sure.
Played for pure pride. I want to beat that guy. I mean, I want to win the game. That's all. I don't need a financial inducement. I just want to win the game. And then they've allowed it to turn into this farce of sport. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing but running up and down and shooting threes and dunks and throwing stupid passes and, you know, nobody guarding anybody ever for anything. So I want to see if they want to play the game. And then if they're not playing the game, then, you know, there's plenty of other things I can do.
Where do you think Indiana is the basketball state in our country? Or because it's a tough, you know, Georgia with Atlanta, New York City.
Well, New York, I haven't been there in a while now, you know, but I've spent enough time in Indiana and studied, you know, enough about what's going on. There is no question that it earned the right in the 20th century. And I know you can't believe the controversy there was 25 years ago when they went away from the format of one size fits all state tournament and went into class play, you know, divisions, right, which most states have always had, but they had, you had one champion, and that, of course, is the basis of the Hoosiers story, right, you know, that Milan, the tiny town, they beat the big boys from the city, and it was an all true story, and all, you know, a little hokeyed up for the movie, but the basis of it is all true. I got to tell you a story there. 1997, Larry Bird is appointed coach of the Pacers, which stunned everybody, stunned me, you know, for sure. I didn't see that coming at all. So at the first press conference that he had as coach of the Pacers, I was there. And no later than the third question he got, as the new coach of the Indiana Pacers of the National Basketball Association, the Hall of Famer Larry Bird, to be, Larry, what do you think of class basketball? That was that high school question. I mean, that told you all you need to know about Indiana at that moment and state and their love affair with basketball. I'll tell you an underrated state for basketball, which has now five Division I schools in a relatively sparsely populated state, and basketball is you know, the high schools are very good. Utah has a long tradition. You know that Utah won the NCAA championship in 1944.
And, I did not.
Yes. And basketball, the Mormon church has, you know, embraced the basketball out there. And it matters. And so that's under, they're on the top five. And maybe they're up there. Now, New York has always been, you know, they like to sell. So, in the 20th century, you know, that New York. Philadelphia was really good for, you know, and with the height of the Big Five and the big rivalry between the Catholic League and the public league there and all that, you know, that. But I'll tell you one thing, though, the great source of talent that didn't exist 50, 60, 70 years ago that has become the bountiful area to recruit basketball players is the Deep South. You know, you people think about football naturally. But the Deep South is, when I'm talking about Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, if you go check out the rosters of NBA players for the last 25 years and see how many players came from sometimes small places and like Slick Watts from Roaming Fork, Mississippi, you know, and all that, lots of those kind of stories out there. So that's become, even in the midst of football, you know, high school basketball there is big.
I think the one thing you could say about Indiana when you compare it to the other areas is prior to the Pacers, which was an ABA team, you know, and then obviously with Reggie Miller and so forth, and when Larry coached them, games of notoriety. But it was really never about the professional game. In New York, you always had the Knicks, Philadelphia, obviously, you know, the Warriors and the 76ers. So you had those high school games, but they were pro team. In Indiana, that was it. That was it. I mean, high school hoop, that was it, man. Oh. That was A1. Top and of the ball, that, Bob.
That right. And that and IU, you know, they were very proprietary towards that and IU, you know, because they won championships in both the 40s and 50s. You know, and early like 41.
I gotta tell you, you know, there's nothing like it. I know you're a new home away from home up there in the lovely western mountains of Maine. You know, Rumford, Maine, in 74 and 75 had two great basketball teams. I went to Mexico High. We didn't have the population of Rumford did across the river, but Rumford had two great teams. And even Mexico, when we get in the state tournament, the tourney, if you will, at the Bangor Auditorium, the Augusta Civic Center, I even had a chance to do some high school basketball games. I would do play-by-play. Rich, our friend Rich Kimball, we would do like 8 games a day. We just do on the radio. It was like the first game started at 8 a.m. and the last game started at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And we do them, and fans traveled, you know, from Dover Foxcroft and, you know, the Bar Harbor and Bealsport and all this. Of course, Bealsport, the name of the coach was Beal, you know, and they had a kid, I think Allie Beal, you know. So, but I remember as a kid going to the Augusta Civic Center. And just a line of cars, like in Hoosiers, from Rumford, Maine. I in the back, my dad and I, my mom, just driving,
yeah,
to Augusta from Rumford, and it was a line of cars as far as you could see.
No, I mean, that's
great stuff. You know, that's Indiana.
Yeah, not, no, I think that's very worthy. I'm aware of that. And of course, you know, it's, now you got Cooper Flag. We'll see how that goes. And
the man.
Yep.
I never thought a number one pick would ever come out of Maine.
I wasn't sure you'd ever get anybody that we could be bigger than Cindy Blodgett in Maine.
Yeah. I mean, in Maine, I mean, my God, when Cindy was there at UMaine, they were, oh my God, they were passionate fans. Passionate fans. So go Maine. Bob, always a pleasure, my friend.
Yes,
we'll talk, enjoy the All-Star break.
Yeah, well, as I said, we'll see. I'll give them, they're on trial with me. I'm going to start watching the game, but they need to persuade me to want to play basketball. That's all. All right.
Bob Ryan, brought to you by Gary Tangway, brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Networks. Get buckets with your first bet on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Talk to you next week, Bob.